Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. And again, we thank the Lord for his wonderful word. If you remember the context of this letter, Paul and Timothy, his great friend, his fellow disciple, fellow co-worker, are in prison in Rome. And Paul is writing a letter to the church that met in Philippi. They had sent some aid to him. They had been mindful of his ministry and wanted to bless him. And so they had sent one of their members, Epaphroditus, to Rome with supplies for Paul. And he writes back. And now he's nearing the end of his letter. He wants to send a letter back to encourage them. And he's got a number of things, encouraging things that he wants to write about. And this little passage I've read emphasizes the importance of what we think, or rather, what we think about. He says, think on these things. And in these days, it's very easy to think of all sorts of negative things. The latest story on the news, the latest message on Facebook, the latest scaremongering from whatever source it comes from. And it is very easy to succumb to negative thinking, to think everything is bad in the world, there is no hope. As Christians, we have a hope. As Christians, we know that our God is still on the throne. As Christians, we know that every opportunity is a challenge, but we can rise to that challenge. Take the opportunity of challenge and don't back away from it. See, what we think about affects us greatly. We can either have a positive attitude or a negative attitude. And as Christians, I believe we need to see the good in people. We need to see the good of what God is doing. We need to see the good in what God is calling us to do. If we dwell on negative things, it will affect our outlook on life and it will affect our actions. Because if we live in fear, we will be fearful people, we will lose our peace and we will lose our hope. If we get angry, that also will affect our thoughts. We become angry at other people, seeing them as perhaps the enemy. That person who got the last roll of toilet paper in the shop. And suddenly in your mind, they're an enemy. No, they're not. They're a fellow human being who also has need. But if we get fearful, we get angry, then a root of bitterness will grow within us. And that is so, so harmful. Because once a root of bitterness gets into our hearts, it is very, very difficult to uproot it. Don't allow bitterness, anger or hatred to cloud your thoughts. Because if you think like this, you will act like it. You say, well, I would never do anything like that. I would never harm somebody. I've got news for you. Each of us is capable of harming somebody. But if we think positive, think along the ways that Jesus would think, and act in the way that Jesus would act when he sees need, when he sees problems, then we will not get angry. We will not come to that place where we harm others. But we will think more highly of the others. Jesus said when he came that he came as a servant and as an example to us of service, that he became least, that he might raise us up. And as Christians, we need to have that same outlook. Jesus said, as I've done for you, you need also to do for your brethren. So let's think on positive things. Let's think of good things. Let's dwell on God's word. Let's look at God's wonderful creation. I saw a post the other day which talked about the fact that everything that's going on around us, and spring is still happening. And I know, looking in our garden, the daffodils are coming up and there's beauty. And the birds are still doing what birds do. And this morning we had some squirrels chasing around in the garden doing what squirrels do. It's not affecting them. It reminds me of what Jesus said about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, the two sparrows, and God cares for them. Let's have those positive outlook. Amen. So what should we think about? See, what Paul is suggesting isn't just the power of positive thinking. It's not just that. It's beyond that. Anybody can exercise a power of positive thinking. But without, I believe, God at the center of our hearts and minds, that power will run out. But when we bring God into the situation, when we bring God into the equation, as it were, I believe that that positive thoughts, that positive outlook can be so, so powerful. Because we are reflecting something of the heart of God into our lives, into our families, into our communities. What Paul is suggesting is a practical advice that actually will end up with us having a peaceful walk with God. And the turmoil that could be in our minds is banished as the peace of God that passes all understanding fills our hearts and minds. The sort of thinking that Paul is talking about is the sort of thinking that a citizen of heaven has. And earlier Paul had talked about the fact that we as Christians are citizens of heaven. We're not just citizens of Great Britain or whatever country we happen to be citizens of. We are citizens of heaven. And the sort of thinking that Paul talks about is the thoughts that a citizen of heaven would think. And remember that character and conduct begin in the mind. Our character and our conduct are influenced by what we think. I came across a great quote from one of my heroes of faith, if you like. Charles Spurgeon said this: God will not live in the parlour of our heart if we entertain the devil in the cellar of our thoughts. God will not live in the parlour of our heart if we entertain the devil in the cellar of our thoughts. I thought it was a great quote. So what should we think about to ensure we've not got the devil in the cellar of our thoughts? Well, first of all, Paul says, whatever things are true. True. It's very difficult at times in these days. There's so much information flying around to find out what is true. Well, whatever the situation might be outside, I know some things that are true. I know that God still loves us. I know that God is still on the throne. I know that God has still got his perfect plan for each one of us. I know that God is sovereign Lord of all the earth. I know that Jesus promised that he will come again. I know these things to be true, not just because the word tells me so, but because I've experienced it in my own life, and many of you will have too, that God is there to lift us up when we are bowed down, that God is our shield and our refuge and our fortress in times of trouble. Why do I say that? The book, God's word says it, our lives have seen it. So many testimonies in this church and many, many churches of the goodness of God and the strength of God and the peace of God that comes. Whatever is true, let's concentrate on the truth of God's revelation to his people. Whatever is true, whatever things are noble. That's not a word we use very often. We think of nobles as being these sort of posh people, don't we? But it's not just about having riches. It's about things that are worthy of respect. Be respectful of one another. Be respectful of those who are seeking to help us. Be respectful to the nurse, the doctor who's trying to help. Be respectful to the shop worker who is under so much pressure at this time. Be respectful of those who have little, that they may be helped. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are deserving of respect, think about those things. There are wonderful examples of people's self-sacrifice in these days. Think about things like that. Whatever things are just. You know, justice is at the heart of God's heart. He's right there. He is a just God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And God, through Paul, is saying, think about justice. And that has practical outworkings in these days to ensure that everybody has what they need, whether it's medical supplies, whether it's help, whether it's a phone call just to encourage. Everybody deserves to be treated well as we possibly can. I believe that God is calling us to act justly towards those who have the least, to act justly towards those who are weak, to act justly towards those who are giving up hope. Let's act justly. Think on these things. Whatever things are pure, let's have our minds be full of pure thoughts, free from blemish, free from corruption. Let's not dwell on the bad things that are happening. Don't let them bring you down. But be encouraged. There are wonderful people out there. Maybe your neighbour is one of them. Maybe they're not. But try to think the best of them. Whatever things are lovely, think about them. Lovely things that people are doing to try and help, to try and combat the virus, to care for those who have fallen sick, to provide the necessary supplies that we have. For those who are teaching in our schools, those who are still vulnerable, or those who are the children of key workers. It's a lovely action. I know personally that through the Easter, what should have been the Easter holidays, many, many teachers will still be going into school. They should have been having their Easter breaks, but they won't be. Think of that lovely action that they're doing to help to combat this virus. Whatever is lovely, lovely actions, lovely people. Let's be people that people will look to and say, aren't they lovely? Aren't they loving? Aren't they generous? Aren't they compassionate? Aren't they kind? Aren't they helpful? Let's be those who set an example. Whatever is lovely. I've already mentioned spring. God's creation is still lovely. And I know we have to keep our social distancing, but we can still look and see the wonder of the flowers and the trees and the oceans and the rivers, the wonderful creation of God. Each year it seems to die and then it comes back again. Our society may be looking as though it's shaky. We will rise again. Just as God in creation has caused his creation to rise out of the coldness and the stillness of winter, so our society will rise. And if we play our part, it will rise quicker and stronger than we were before. Whatever things are of good report, things that are admirable, think about them. Perhaps you might need to get dust down some old books and read of some of the great heroes of the faith who went through terrible tribulation for the cause of Christ. And be inspired. Be inspired by missionaries, by pastors, by leaders of the past. These good reports. Think on these things. Whatever is admirable, whatever is virtuous, think of these things. If there is any virtue, things that are morally excellent, think about them. Our time is going. I'm going to have to hurry up a bit. Whatever things are praiseworthy. Well, there's plenty of praiseworthy things if you choose to think about it. The old song, count your blessings one by one. You know what? There's lots to praise God for. Praise God that you woke up this morning. Praise God he's given you breath. Praise God he's enabled you to have the technology to join together with people across the town and across the world, to hear his word and to fellowship together. Whatever is praiseworthy, think about those things. And then verse 9, Paul said, meditate on these things. I mean, it doesn't mean a quick thought. It means think about them a lot. You know, many of us are going to have a lot more time for thinking. Think about these things. Don't dwell on the negative. And then verse 9, Paul says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, he's saying, put what has been learned into practice. You know, God has been preparing his people for just such a time as this, that the church can rise up and make a huge difference in our nation and nations. Maybe the church has been called for just such a time as this, just as Esther was called for such a time to save her people. The church can help. Amen. Paul uses himself as an example to them. I don't think that's a boastful thing. He's just saying, look, I put into practice what I preach. And so let's not just say these things, let's put them into practice. And I believe that, as Paul says, if you put these things into practice, you think of these things and that thought becomes action, then the God of peace will be with you. If you're troubled, start thinking about these things rather than the troubles. If you're worried, you're anxious, may God's perfect love cast out all fear. There is nothing to be fearful of. As was said a long time ago, the greatest thing we are to be fearful of is fear itself. Don't be fearful. So many times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid, do not be anxious. I believe it's 366 times God says, do not fear, do not be anxious. So that's one for every day of the year, including this year, the leap year. So don't be anxious. The peace of God will be with you. The final challenge, what about us? May we think about this. What do we fill our minds with? Are we thinking on good things or are we dwelling on the negative? Do we keep a guard on our gates? Our eye gate and our ear gate. What are we allowing through? Our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear. Keep a guard on them. Because if we don't, we'll find, as Spurgeon said, the devil will be in the cellar of our thoughts. He will come through those gates, the eye and the ear. And when he comes through those gates, it comes out of our mouths. Our confession is not a confession of faith, but of anxiety, of fear, of worry, of hate. Let's not lower our guard on our eyes and our ears. Are we spending time meditating on the good things that God has brought into our lives? Let's do that. Let's set time aside just to think. As I said earlier, count your blessings. Meditate on the good things that God has done. We remembered in the taking of bread and wine, Jesus' amazing sacrificial love for us. Meditate on those things. Think about the good things that God has done in your life in the past. Begin to see he's still doing good things now. Do we rejoice to see lovely things in the world? On a particular Facebook page that I tend to get up on my feed, every day there's a lady living in Italy, puts up a beautiful picture of something in their country. Some wonderful, wonderful picture of God's creation. Or she's affected by the coronavirus. Italy is, as they say, 2 or 3 weeks further down the line than Britain, it seems. And yet she sees some beauty. And she shares it. Doesn't say anything about what it is, just puts it up there for us to see. And it's such an encouragement to people. Do we see lovely things in the world? And finally, are we putting the truth of God's word into practice? It's all very well thinking, oh, that was good. Those are encouraging words from Philippians, but are we putting them into practice? Let's not just have a tick box say, I think I'm doing that. Let's actually put it into practice. Amen. May God be with you as you think on that passage, on that message. And God willing, next week we will be here again. It won't be me preaching next week. I think it's God's will.